Well, I decided that this morning I was going to give the grossest homily I've ever given. Maybe we should have had children's dismissal today. No, it's not really that gross. I've just been thinking about what happens to food after we eat it. Now, I don't really know that much about what happens to food after we eat it. So it's easier to just make some generalizations. I know that when I eat a carrot, it goes here. I know that when I eat a donut, it goes here. I know that when I eat peanut butter, it goes here. And I know there's a lot of stuff that I eat that just goes. Yes. Okay, I know that's a little bit of an oversimplification. There's not really a carrot in my eye. There's no peanut butter in my bicep. Rather, it'd be more proper to say that after I ate those things, my body took them, broke them down, and made them a part of me. The human body is amazing. How much more amazing, then, is it when what we eat is not just food, but food for eternal life? When what we eat is not so much a what, but a who. Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. But here's the difference. When I eat food, that food gradually becomes a part of me. But when I receive the Eucharist, it's the reverse. I become a part of it. Let me say that again. When I eat food, the food changes to become part of me. But when I receive the Eucharist, it changes me to become part of it. St. Augustine said it beautifully. If we receive the Eucharist worthily, we become what we receive. So that's not so gross after all, is it? And in my defense, I bet that the Jews who heard Jesus in the gospel today probably thought that that was the grossest thing he had ever said. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. In fact, some thought that he was so gross that he must not be serious. Until he said it again. My flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. And then again, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me. And then for good measure, again, the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. Now, how to do that wasn't immediately clear. I mean, the only way that the Jews knew to drink someone's blood was, well, to do it. And that's pretty gross. It was clear that Jesus told them to do it. But it wasn't clear immediately how they were supposed to do it. Until the Last Supper. When Jesus took bread and said, "This is my body." And then he took wine and said, "This is my blood." And that changed everything. So much so that when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, in the reading that we heard this morning, they had already been eating his flesh and drinking his blood for almost 30 years. And so he already realized that if we eat the body of Jesus Christ, we are one body. In other words, we're not changing the food. The food is changing us. Now, if that's the case, then we need to think about how and when and why we receive the Eucharist. Well, let's think about how. If it truly will change me into Jesus Christ, then have I prepared myself well? Have I fasted for at least an hour before coming to the Eucharist? Are my hands clean, without dirt or writing, if I'm going to receive the Lord? Have I come early enough to Mass so that I can prepare my body and my soul to receive Him? Or let's think about when I receive the Eucharist. Praise God that we're gathered here together this morning. But if the Lord truly wants to change me into His presence, perhaps He would even call you to the Eucharist more often than Sunday. Perhaps on Mondays at 5:30 after work, after practice, or before supper. Perhaps during the week at 7, before you go to work or school or practice. To find an opportunity to allow myself to be nourished by His Word and by His presence as often as you can. Well, I can't really point to where the food has gone in me. That's because it's no longer food. It's me. And if I receive the Eucharist worthily, oh, it's still me. But it's no longer just me. It's also the Lord who has chosen to give Himself to me.